The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Time to give up. You gotta weather the storm, and if you fall, man, you just gotta get up. I know that it's hard for you to let the pain go, but when you in the rain, anticipate the rainbow. Trials and tribulations gonna come no matter what. You gotta strive and rise like the sun no matter what. Yeah, times is hard, for real, things is tough, and all lives matter, but do it matter to us? All I see is black on black crime when I'm on the block, but we wanna start a riot when we getting killed from cops. It's time to rise in love, don't let the hate break you. God said he never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that. Yeah.
Be better than never
before. That's
right.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 12th of May, 2022, which means it is a Culture Thursday, and I got a packed studio for you this morning. Listen, my first guest is a phenomenal man. Like, I want to call him a Renaissance man, but he's too young to be a Renaissance man. It's like, how could you have achieved 60 years of living in what looked like 35 years of life? Anyway, I want to say good morning to Mr. Apostle Valentino Williams. There you go, straight into the mic.
Good morning, good morning.
How you do?
I'm doing wonderful, and yourself?
I am good, thank you. Now listen, you are on the top of a roster. I got to tell the people who else I got in the studio.
Certainly.
Because they've been waiting for this show. Some people have been waiting for this show for 3 years. Some people have been waiting for this show for 20 whole years. I have some of the founding members of the Sport 242. That's right. Thought Catcher Enterprises presents the Sport in studio with me this morning to start off a multi-series discussion on, first of all, where Justice Gardens is, who the president of Justice Gardens is, and why I can't ever find a nomination form for the elections. Anyway, good morning, Mr. Ankou Sura. Oh, wait, we got to get you a mic, hey. Yeah.
Hey, namaste, everybody. Good morning. I'm happy to be here, and you know, we can see where the show goes. Clap for what you don't know.
Good morning, Mr. Koji Wright.
Good morning.
Right into the mic. You got to talk right into the mic.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I cannot tell y'all how long I've been waiting to look at the two of y'all and tell y'all talk right into the mic. Elevate your volume, gentlemen. Good morning. Anyway, let's get back to my first guest. Mind you, during this conversation, you may hear voices pop in like Leah Enius or Sakani Nash. The two of them are zooming in. They are not on the island. I mean, they so far away from the center. I don't even know if Sakani's still in the country. Anyway, they may pop in, and even Jason Evans can pop into this conversation at some point from somewhere across the archipelago. Let's get to my first guest. Good morning, sir, Mr. Apostle Valentino Williams.
Good morning once again, and of course, good morning to all of the wonderful listeners of this wonderful radio show. I'm just delighted to be here with you, to share with you this new project that was just completed, and to give you some insight into what it is that I've been doing, and one of two things of what I'm about to do.
Absolutely. You've been doing plenty things. You come this morning to talk about your new book, called Take Lead, right?
Take the Lead.
Take the Lead.
Yes.
See, I put a little Caribbean in it, right? I just take charge, take the lead. But that's the energy that I got from the book when I saw it.
Yes.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Yeah. So this book is simply about taking responsibility. I believe leadership, yes, is influence, but also leadership is responsibility. What responsibility does leaders have? We have a responsibility to take those who follow us to our destination. That means that leaders must be very responsible. Leaders must be focused. Leaders must be disciplined. Leaders must be trustworthy. Leaders must be visionaries, because ultimately, I will not go in a vehicle with you if you don't know where you're going. So leadership has this responsibility of charting the way forward and taking people to where they need to go. And so in this book, I give several descriptions of what leaders do. I think one of my favorite is the first chapter, and it's entitled The Driver's Seat. What this chapter is all about, I analogize how driving a vehicle is very similar to being that of a leader. As the driver of a vehicle, you must remain focused on the road. You must ensure that no pedestrians are being knocked down. You must ensure that you dodge the potholes. As a driver, you must ensure that the gas tank remains full. And so as leaders, we have to do the very same thing. As a driver, you can't take a nap. You can't be on your mobile device enjoying entertainment. And sadly, we have a whole lot of leaders today that are driving and being entertained at the same time. Mm-hmm. You have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a passenger or you're going to be a driver.
Right. And I see that both like at the national, at the sort of political level, at the community level, and even at the family level. I don't have any children of my own, although some raccoons have adopted me. but I take care of my niece, right? And the first thing my niece show us is, look here, if you don't want to be in charge, I could be in charge. Because ain't nobody getting in no car with no driver behind the wheel.
You better believe it. And again, yeah. If you don't take the responsibility, someone else will.
Yeah.
And again, you know, as a driver, you have to be that individual to chart the course. You are responsible. You know, just about every year, my family and I, we take a vacation. And of course, when we go to a place we're not familiar with, we have the GPS. And I'm responsible for plotting in where we're going to go. My wife, my kids, listen, they get all of the snacks they want. They make sure that the data is on their phone. And most of the time, I'm driving by myself, especially if we're on a road trip. And so leaders, it's a lonely road. There are times when you have to drive and you have no one to say anything to you. All your passengers do when you arrive to the destination is say, thank you for getting me there. So this is one of my favorite chapters in the book, because it really, I believe it epitomizes what leadership is all about. Let me reiterate before we move on. As the driver I mentioned a moment ago, you have to ensure that the tank remains full. As a leader, your leadership tank must remain full. You will know when your tank is running low. Just like the vehicle knows when it's time to put gas in the vehicle, what happens? The light comes on. You know as a leader when you're running low, you're snapping, you're saying things from the wrong perspective, you're just foul, you're just angry, you're irritated, etc. That's a sign that you need a break and you need to refuel. Hence, being the leader, you must be responsible.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm just sitting here seeing all the parallels, right, to the book, to the principles that you are expounding on, and to what we learn and what we live in the spot, in this improv comedy troupe, right? In the last years of the sports performance, I was a female lead. And so, buddy, trust me, you get lead people, whether they want to be led or not, but more importantly, they don't want you to lead them. They want to be led. They want you to create an environment where they feel like they have participation equal, right? But at the same time, they need to trust that you know that you're in charge. And they need to be able to trust that if something go wrong, you watching. And like my brethren, like I say, you overstanding. Right? But that's a lonely position to have to overstand.
Let me everything. Add here also, you mentioned a very important point. If you're going to take the lead, I must trust you. So there must be some trustworthy aspects about who you are. And the reality is, people will not follow who they don't feel. Mm-hmm. If I don't feel you, I'm not going to follow you. And ultimately, I will not trust you. So it's important that our lives come into alignment. It's important that our words be our bond. It's important that we are who we say we are. It's important that our character is the same in the public as it is in private.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, gentlemen, I want crack joke. Not joke, you know, it's called political satire, something that I learned at the spot. But there are just so many parallels, right, to leading a family, leading a company, leading a vehicle, and leading a whole group of crazy people who all think they funny. But the most, what I valued about the experience was that I could trust that these boys wasn't going to put me on stage if I wasn't funny. Like, you could trust that they're not going to go out there, go and let you go out there and embarrass yourself, right? And it may be harsh, it may be hard, you may not be able to take it at the time, but somebody telling you, no, we're not putting you out on stage is much better than somebody saying, oh, you think you're funny, hey, well, go out there and see how it goes. But in the moment, you may not understand, respect, be able to reflect or appreciate that type of leadership style. But I tell you what, people, young people want that. They want to be able to trust. It's not that they're rebelling against everything. They're rebelling against things they're not certain about, and they know you're not certain about either. Mm. But if you come in with a degree of certainty, right, and you watch this, watch show like Wife Swap and Trading Families. Children typically follow whatever it is the parents are doing. The parents could be doing the wildest things, but when the family unit is strong, this is what we do. They're going to follow that parent, you know? And kids want that, despite what you think is rebellion. They're not rebelling against you. They're rebelling against the uncertainty. Because don't mind cheering. If ain't nobody driving that car, they're going to jump in front of that wheel. Now, Mr. Williams, where can we find this book and your previous, in your prior book, Go Big or Go Home?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, where can we find it?
All right, so we can find it at Life Changes Ministries International, the church that I pastor. That's located, of course, on Bacardi Road. And, of course, we open from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. You can go ahead and purchase a copy there. Or you can go to Logos Bookstore or All Seasons Bookstore. Or for those tech-savvy persons who don't really like the hardback copy, or perhaps you're international and you don't have access to a hard copy, you could go on Amazon Kindle and you can find it there also. So, of course, there are several different places you can find it. The book is an investment of $20.
Absolutely, and I like that, an investment. I mean, you say an investment into a, not just yourself, but into a community, because I want to know, when is the Church Development Strategies Conference happening? Will it be happening at the Keep Hope Alive Foundation Center, right?
As a matter of fact, the Church Development Strategies Conference is actually taking place next week, Friday and Saturday.
Tell the people the dates, man.
Yeah.
The actual dates, so I can get my money ready.
Actually, it's free. It's a free conference. It's a free conference. I believe in giving back. I believe in sowing. I believe in being a blessing to those individuals who need help. So it's Friday, May 20th, and of course, Saturday, May 21st. Unfortunately, it's a closed session. A closed session.
So no
just for those persons that are part of our Kingdom Covenant Fellowship, yeah, which is a group of pastors and business owners that I have the privilege of leading.
Okay, so it is a conference for the leaders to help prepare the leaders.
That's correct.
To be able to go
back to their organization and take it to the next level.
Absolutely. I don't think we, we like to critique leaders, like to beat them up. We don't necessarily see the weight that they, and the burden that they carry, nor do we see the need to support them.
That's correct.
Right? And psychosocial services, pastors need love. They need attention.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But they need that type of love, like proper love.
Oh, yes.
Like that you expect from your pastor. Right? To be looking out for you always. Do you need something?
Yes.
Everything cool?
Yes.
You need a baggie before church service? Is it hot in them robes?
Add some salty.
Absolutely. So how can we contact you?
All right. So you can get me at 362-1170 or 362-1173. Or if you want to reach me via email, you can just simply type valentinowilliams@hotmail.com. You can find me also, of course, on social media, Facebook. You can find me there, Valentino Williams or Valentino Williams International.
Absolutely. Take the Lead by Apostle Valentino Williams. I'm going to have him back on shortly because I can tell you why. See this group I'm working with, the Spot 242, right? Thought Catcher Enterprises Presents. Now, these are some of the OGs, right?
Right.
What I've learned from these OGs, that the Spot 242, this product that they developed, may be the most effective, vibrant, and accessible teaching tool.
Wow.
Right? I mean, I ain't been to your closed session yet. They ain't let me in yet. That's developed in this country from Bahamians. This program, I can call it a program, you didn't have to pay to join, right, taught me so much about the power of imagination and collective imagining and how this tool is from the personal to the national, right? To help us do this thing called govern ourselves, right? People get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself. And a part of that is imagining the world that I want to live in and knowing what I have to do and how I have to be to achieve that.
Okay.
And this book and this discussion take the lead. I'm glad that I brought you guys together this morning because on paper you look completely disparate. But in real life and in the studio, yeah, grab that one. It's like y'all are doing the very same thing, just in different clothes. And thank you so very much, Mr. Apostle Valentino Williams. I wish you could stay, but I am. I had to put down Kidnapping Man, and so I have to let you go about the rest of your day.
Thank you so much
for joining me today, and I will have you back in studio
shortly. Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
Absolutely. Have a great day, sir.
Have a good one.
All right. Producer, that's some good music. Let's go to the break, and when we get back from the break, somebody walk into my room, and it's going to be a cabinet meeting when we get back. Shadow, stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
And not every day this time I got blowing, and every door we close still I figure open. Rain a fall and the sky full of dark cloud, but the silver lining in the back mean it's hope still. Remember tomorrow the sun may come out. We see a brighter day, don't things glow me now. Yeah, although nothing I want, things will get better right after this storm. You don't hear me now?
Stronger, you'll be better than ever before. After the storm, you'll be stronger, we'll be better.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
When you run out of funds
and you're bored out your mind,
we know about the place
where you can have a good time.
The people always ready
to show you around the place.
Cause everything is just the same. This your judgment place. Come down to this spot. Come down to this spot. Come down to this spot. Come down to this spot.
Okay.
Hey, clap for what you don't know.
Good yawning this morning.
Good yawning. Yeah, see, good yawning this morning. Sakani brought that on.
Yeah.
Into the spot. I remember him saying it one day, and it stuck.
Yeah.
Right? So it's contagious. Good yawning this morning. Uncle Sarah here. I got my one of my partners here with me. He's not the one who you would see on TV at all.
Not at all.
He would be the one who you would see when you were coming in with your tickets. And he was everywhere in the house. But Koji Wright is here with me as well. Koji, what's your name, bro?
Good morning, everyone.
Stagehand extraordinaire. Yeah. Man, to make sure. See, man, you're a superstar like Aaron Green. You got to have your things taken care of in the dressing room. This is the way to make sure your cup and your baggie is waiting for you. Not froze, hard frozen, you know.
Yeah.
Just ready to bite.
Yeah.
Anyway, superstar. Good morning, sir.
Good morning again, everyone.
So welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Anku Sarah and Koji Wright, some of the foundational members of Thoughtcatcher Enterprises, presents the spot 242. Now, I had to let Uncle introduce that vibe just now because a lot of y'all think that I created Good Yawning Good This Yawning. Morning.
Yeah, that's a Sakani Sakani man.
Yeah, that's Sakani Nash.
Yes, shout out to Sakani. I think he's listening in.
Mr. Nash, you in the Zoom room?
Yeah, morning, everybody.
Sakani.
Yeah, see, he's going to say morning after all that.
You see what I say? That's because he's waking at the... He's a director of Ministry of Wakes on People's Nerves. Good morning. So I've invited you guys to tell us the origin story of the spot. I be on TV, I talk about it like it's mine. I talk about this thing like I made this, like I made this myself. But that's what y'all inspired me to do.
Yeah.
So this morning, maybe we have Leah Enias in the Zoom room as well. I'm not sure. She's so far away from the set. You got to get a visa to get out to where she lives. Right, but I want you all to tell us the origin story of the spot.
So I will, this is Uncle speaking. It started really with Jason Evans and I. I don't know if Jason can make it into the show today, but we had two books that we wanted published. Mine is called Tears from My Third Eye, and Jason's was Mind Farts.
Mind Farts.
Yeah, Mind Farts. And what happened was Arlene Nash Ferguson, she was doing her book, who was Sakani's aunt, by the way. She was doing her book, I Come to Get Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she and I think Stan Burnside, Jackson Burnside, several people, they went to India to find a publisher. Well, I don't know if they went there to find a publisher, but they found a publisher in India. When they found this publisher, she basically introduced us to this publisher, and then Jason and I decided we would publish these books. I remember even approaching Obadiah Michael Smith at the time. Jason and I sat with him, and we invited him, at least this my memory, right? We invited him to be a part of Thought Catcher at one point because we thought we were just publishing books.
Yeah.
That's really where it started, right? And I'm having trouble remembering if our worlds were for the books
the books right came into first and then our
right
world.
Sorry,
the
very
books
good
came first and then our world.
So in the midst of us doing these books, right, a lot of creativity was taking place. We did a play. I brought one of the actual books for you to see, Aaron. This is a spoken word play called Our World.
Mm-hmm.
We did it on top of the fort. What's the fort across from Fish Fry? That's
all three one time. That's three fort one time. Yeah, Charlotte, but, Rudy, and and King.
We was on the top. This way before our Shadow.
Yeah.
This way before our Shadow. We did a play called Our World. It was featured in a magazine called eLife, which I gotta find and I have it, but I probably gotta post some pictures online. But we did Jason and I did this spoken word play, and we had, I see the names here on the play. I see Glynis Ambrister, Delita Turnquest, Tracy Stubbs, Sherry Blackwell, Alan Poetic Jones, and Marcus Hicks. These were the poets in that. Go ahead, brother.
Hold on, quick question. Mm-hmm. Was Partners in Crime before Our World? I think so.
Everything merging in.
Yeah. I think we did.
So it was Partners in Crime
first, and then we developed another spoken world.
So I think so basically a lot of creativity was taking place. We had Our World. Jason and I also did Partners in Crime. Partners in Crime was kind of the birth of the band Spoken Tones. Spoken Tones was a hip hop / poetry reggae band. That's kind of how we...
So it was like sort of Common Hits the Caribbean.
Yeah, I remember at one point Reality from 100 Jams, they were kind of billing us like the Roots, the Bakken Bond type style, right?
Shout out to Mac Entertainment.
Yeah, Mac Entertainment.
Back in the day.
So, and I was really big into hip-hop at the time and spoken word. I had no interest in really diving fully into the theater world. My sister, Leah Enias, she was at Fisk University doing a degree in theater. So that's what her degree is in. I don't know the official name of it, but I know it's in theater, right? Or dramatics, something like that, right? And so I remember my mom always used to say, what she can do with this degree? You know what I mean? And I was like, Mom, we can find ways to utilize this degree. And so that was part of my personal drive, was to create a space for my sister and others, right, to be able to express themselves. So you had the play, Our World. You had Partners in Crime. Crime with a K, right? And what eventually happened was Spoken Tones, the band, it started to take off. We eventually started to do a show at King of Knights, just really focusing on the music. And in between the breaks, because I was in Atlanta when this particular show was going, I would call in to 100 Jams, and I would do a weekly report from Atlanta, and then I would shout out the show that was taking place at King of Knights.
Like, what you was reporting from? What you was doing the weather report from Atlanta?
I was like the on. Reality wanted me to do like an on scene.
Okay, just was you once you wasn't reporting on your fellow Bahamian students.
No, I was telling people what was going on in Atlanta.
Okay,
but then I was also plugging the show with Spoken Tones at the King of Knights. When that show started, I think it was 5 people. In the audience, because Koji would have been in Nassau and to see all of this.
So let me jump in a little bit. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You got to speak directly into it. Pull it over. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's start with Partners in Crime, mm-hmm. because what you didn't talk about was also the verse place.
Yeah,
speakeasies and all.
But listen, okay. So wait. So you mean that when I went to the poetry event at Adastra Gardens?
That's Kaumba.
That's Kaumba.
Like I say, it was a very creative.
Yeah, that's the.
But I buck all y'all out there?
Zagani, go
ahead. That's the poetry event that I did.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Right. So all right. It was truly a creative time. Go ahead, Koji.
Okay, so there's to be an event called The Verse Place.
Yeah.
That used to also happen at Nassau Beach. I think it was the Blue Note.
Yeah.
Right. And Chrissy, by the time I think I hit The Verse Place, Chrissy Love was hosting.
So Chrissy Love, yeah, she got a lot of that. See, Chrissy Love was doing that from when it was on Bay Street.
Yeah.
So then it mashed into Jason hosting it and all those different things too. Mm-hmm. What happened after that is that's when I think King Eric and his wife at the time, whatever it is, came out to one of our shows, one of the first places, whatever it is. And they actually sat down and talked to us, and then they offered us to be able to go at King of Knights.
Mm-hmm. Slide right over from this way.
Yeah.
Then you could turn the mic. So when you turn your head,
No problem. No. And then they offered us a spot at King of Knights to perform. But the only available time they had would have been Tuesday night at 10 o'clock.
Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
And they thought it was funny, and we told them we would just take it.
So that's the origin of the Tuesday night, right?
Yeah. That was the only night they had available.
I got a whole tagline for the spot, right? It's the funniest thing, better than Saturday Night Live on Tuesday night.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Better than Bible study
on
a Tuesday night.
Right.
And I guess from then they figured who would come out to any of our shows on a Tuesday night, 10 o'clock. Nobody expected that we'd be able to put on a show.
Yeah.
And we did.
And so when we first started, she used to call the band
Spooky Tones.
Spooky Tones.
Now, the reason that she did it is because at our very first show, you're talking about the 5 people, when the band started, the 5 people that were in the show left. They caught up and they walked out. So she was like, I guess y'all ran all the people out of the show. So she is like, this is Spooky Tones. And that's how it started.
But look at old people, something else, you know. They can't wait to be old people.
Yeah, that was usual. So I, fast forwarding a bit, I came back from Atlanta, and I knew that I definitely was still focused on the music.
Yeah.
But we had these skits that were going on that were taking place when the band, Leah Aeneas and Kyra Frazier, and forgive me, Kyra, I'm forgetting your married name now, right? Uh-huh. But she was Kyra Frazier at the time, right?
Yeah.
they had these two characters called...
Brakel and Brakeisha.
These two junglers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of just grew out of those two characters. When I came onto the scene, I wasn't really interested in being in the skits. I didn't think I had what it took to be in the skits. Let me say it that much. And so I said, I'll just host. And so... with the hosting taking place, I just knew that some magic was going on behind the curtain because this improv skits. And I remember one night, I didn't know what the next skit was going to be. So I came out and I was like, well, you know, clap for what you don't know.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I was just clapping. I was like, clap for what you don't know. And that kind of stuck, right? Okay. So before every skit, because I still, even when I knew what was going to happen, years later, I didn't know what was going to happen because the skits were really, truly on the spot.
Yeah, I think I knew that I was okay. Like, I knew that I would make it as a secondary actor when I made him chuckle on stage. Not laugh. He voiced a laugh and he chuckled. Just like that. Because I gave him a warning, I had to tell him, listen, there may or may not be genitalia involved in this joke. Right?
Yes. And so the name, The Spot, from my memory, and I could be corrected, because Alan Poetic Jones. Alan Jones, one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my life. My brother, our brother. I think he was the first white member to it.
He was the first white member. Yes,
but he was. But he's our brother, right? And I think he actually came up with this term, The Spot, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But that's what was related to me. But we had we had the band members, and then we started to build the cast members. Mm-hmm. Koji and Sakani were never far behind. They weren't officially in the mix at first, but they was there, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jason and I, eventually I know 80, because 80, Jason's cousin, he was a part of the band as well. Thought Catcher morphed more from just books into music. And then into theater.
Like a variety show.
That we just understood that we had the ability to creatively produce.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So it didn't just stay with books. Because since then, we've done Baintown. I catch it at Baintown, which my reprinted Baintown that my grandfather wrote. And I'm also working on Let the Church Roll On.
So where can we go? Yeah. Where can we find these things?
Baintown,
man?
is on Amazon. Right now, as we speak.
Listen, the digital wallet don't accept Sea Grape. Where can I pay you cash or Sea Grape for these books, man?
Well, at this stage is Amazon. Now I know there are bookstores that have been asking for hard copies, so we're working on that as well.
Awesome.
But the book side of it is a whole another.
All right,
aspect of it.
Another quick question. Were you guys at King and Knights when the two statues of Blackbeard was at King and Knights?
I don't remember
those. I don't remember
those. You're okay. Y'all know the two big Blackbeard statues that used to be on the Cable Beach Strip? People told me they used to be at King and Knights, and when they took down King and Knights, they moved the statue, but I don't remember the statues being there. I mean, mind you, I didn't drink when I used to come to King and Knights because I had to be 35 to drink in the Mitchell household.
So,
but age it for me. What else was happening in New Providence when you all got established?
Boy, our summers were very different. We're not new children.
2002. Maybe talking 2002, right?
Yeah, I had no children. So it was a different time. Let me tell you, we were able to practice 7 days a week. If it either was the band or skits, there was always something going on, and that's how we perfected the show.
And I'm glad you said that, because there's no way that I could be as funny as y'all if I only get to practice 1 day a week. And y'all is practicing 7 days a week.
But let me tell you why we had to practice 7 days a week. Because we had to practice the laughs out of us. We used to be crying laughing, trying to keep a straight face. We did a skit called Baintown Symphonics. We have a song called...
I've been lucky enough to be a part of it.
You've been in that, right?
So
the first Baintown Symphonics, we weren't just practicing the song. We had a song called Pompous Picking Pot Cakes, right? And everybody had a different part in the song. But I remember the first night, we just cried laughing, trying to keep ourselves serious to do the actual skit. So the practice wasn't just learning the song. It was like, okay, you know, we ain't supposed to laugh.
Right. I got to ask some younger cast members this in the future, but there's that line, right? There's that thin line between sort of business professional and absolute chaos and madness. Mm-hmm. But you can't do this with the absence of either.
Right.
Right? You can't do this with the absence of either.
So Koji was the cooler, right?
You sure you wasn't the cooler, babe?
Nah, because I wasn't.
You sure?
It's Koji.
Because all you had to do to tell somebody is, that skit would be great for television, you know. At a time when Zed Ness, when he had half a channel.
That's Gotti. So,
that's my life.
So let me tell you, the thing, the business and the art of it, you know, obviously we had to learn over time, but one of the things I pride us on is we never turn anybody away.
Yeah.
We never told anybody, you can't be in the spot. We would let you sit around long enough to realize you can't be in the spot. Or you could be in the spot. Because the talent was evident. When we started to do the actual, like, people would be like, oh, so they really ain't writing stuff. Like, this is really on the spot. You watch people just, boom, a character come out of nowhere, boom, a skit come out of nowhere, boom. And you could either keep up, you could either learn to keep up like you did, or you go back in the audience.
That was
our protocol. We never said, no, you never. Even people who weren't perceived to be funny, Moya Thompson.
It's hilarious.
His hilarious. But if you just talk to Moya, you'd be like, she just kind of dry. But Moya, she lit up the stage in some of her skits, The Bible and Bohemian. That was one of my favorite Moya skits, right?
Yeah.
Where she would give us interpretations of the Bible in Bohemianese, right? Yeah. And she did many, many other characters. But I'm just saying, when I first met her, I was like, she just seemed kind of laid back. I don't know if she's funny. But eventually, what we realized is that in the environment that was being created, all you had to do is be yourself. The funny would come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of learned the chemistry. We have a whole thing called spirit fingers that we do right before the show. Everybody hold hands and you squeeze each other's hands. But we did that on stage to the point where we would come off stage sometimes. People would be like, well, whose idea was that? And I never told people whose idea. I said, that was all of us. Because even if Aaron said, hey, we should do a skit on boom, 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 then Leah might say something, hey, I can bring this character. Mark or Sakani or, you know, we had so many friends. Everybody would then bring a character to whatever was introduced. So no one could ever really say, that was my idea. Like, I never did that because I understood it was chemistry that made the spot function the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And the balancing of egos, right? That's another thin line that you have to walk because you need massive egos. In fact, as the lead, the production, you want massive egos on stage with you. You want by them who know that they got the funny and know they could bring the funny, but you also need people who understand the importance of being able to moderate that ego.
We used to call it don't get gully.
Yeah.
You know when you go to the beach and the seagulls, we had the skit where we were actually
Steven singing. Seagull, boy, that's what it's called.
Steven Seagull is one of them.
I know she was gonna bring it up.
I can't remember who it was, but one of the people we was in the skit, they was just supposed to be in the background and they kind of like got in themselves. I can't even remember who it was. But
I think it was Jason.
Might have been, I don't know because Jason was one of the leads. But I remember somebody who
I can tell you because I was in the back there hoping that y'all didn't hear me because I was not a good seagull at all. But Jason brought it right up to the right level. Jason was the big ego. He was
the lead. It wouldn't have been him.
Right. This is what I'm saying. He is the seagull that freak out. It was the rest of us in the back that didn't realize that we were not required to take it to the point that he took it to.
Right.
Because although that's what it appears as if happens on the beach, that's not actually how the seagull world works.
Right. Yeah. And so from then on, it was like, don't get gully. Don't get on that stage and forget. If you're supposed to be a part of the background, stay in the background.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't about the person being funny. It was about the skit being funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was about getting that, because one of the most important jobs in the spot was the person who closed the curtain. A lot of people don't know that. Because your job is the curtain closer. Everybody didn't get to close that curtain. You had to know, because sometimes we had a mark that we were wanting to hit and the audience didn't get it. So that means keep going.
Until you get that laugh.
When you get that laugh, boom, then that curtain closed. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Just a moment here.
Yeah.
Dear government, you can't run the country like a skit on stage. You can't do it like that.
No.
When you hit that point, you just close the skit and move on to the next one, okay?
Yeah.
There'll be a laugh later. Don't watch nothing.
Yeah. So it was a transition from King. I think we did King of Nights for about 2 years, maybe. First two years, or three. And then I remember having a conversation with Miss Betty about the doneness, and they were very afraid of us. It's like, what do you all do? Because, you know, filming boards can... What's it called?
Films and plays control
right,
board.
Right, you know, you're supposed to submit what you call it, a script.
Yeah.
So we was like, we ain't got no script.
Yeah.
But then, how do we know what to rate it? I said, we don't curse, you know what I mean? We don't do vulgar stuff, but I guarantee you we don't have a script.
The spot created a new rating called Hurt Your Feelings.
Yeah. Then, I'm just moving quickly. Then one day, Charles Russell came in from ZNS to watch a play. And the white jockey man, who's one of my characters, he has a line, Nanny on the Bahamians.
Yes.
Like, Nanny on the Bahamians. And I remember Mr. Russell pulled me on the side after the show. He said, you know how long I had the word Nanny? I need you in my office next week so we could get this show on ZNS. Literally, this is how it happened.
Yeah.
And Sakani, Koji, myself, we had several meetings with the board in different places. Anyway, long story short, we was running around with our cameraman, Chris. Shout out to Chris from ZNS.
Big time.
And we had a show on ZNS. That song that you started this segment,
yeah.
We recorded that at our Real Time Studios with Neil. I remember Adrian D'Aguila, Neil Simonette. Mm-hmm. We recorded that song for the TV show. And it's been on TV ever since, really, because I know they still playing some of those skits
on
TV. ZNS and Cable Bahamas. So we got it on ZNS and then eventually moved to Cable Bahamas with Sakani and others continuing to push the show. But Koji, go ahead.
Sorry. You forgot to talk about Jamaica.
Oh, man.
But first of all, I don't care about Jamaica because I didn't go. I didn't know y'all at the time.
So anyway, in Jamaica, when Aaron was in there. So Mark Daniels.
Yeah.
Was an Eric. What's your last name again? Eric the insurance.
Eric Sawyer the third, junior from senior.
Yeah, sorry about that, Eric. Yeah, yeah. I sing insurance every time I talk. Hey, but Eric, not. But so Mark and Eric, Eric was just coming into the spot. He had already been a part of it, but Mark was from my recollection. At least let me say it this way. I remember people who I worked with closer with, because I did work with Eric, but I used to work closer with Mark. But in any event, they got us.
I don't think Eric was a part of the show yet. I think after Jamaica, he decided to join.
Yeah,
the show.
So they were part of the Bahamian Student Association
delegation
or something like that.
That helped us while we were down there.
Right, so they brought us over to do a show. When we did that, we did the spot, the people in the studio or the theater, they thought we was a joke. They didn't really take us serious the first half of the show. We was telling them we need lights to be on at this time. We need these.
Yeah.
And they was just kind of like, eh. And when the show started and they saw, yeah, we playing crazy, but we know what we doing. By the next half of the show, them dudes were sitting straight. And they was like, okay, this is professional production now.
Yeah. And at that point, they understood the importance of their role. And that's
right.
One of the
things. We had to let them know you were part of this show.
Yeah.
You ain't just here to just hit that button and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Pay attention, do your job. And so Jamaica was wonderful because we actually had a whole DVD.
We did.
Yeah. I want to say it's important to note that I think the spot, being a part of the spot and knowing you guys from well before I joined the spot, I know you was my cousin. Mm-hmm. And I look here, Coach, you'll forever be known to me as Duran and the Thompson Twins because I met you through my cousin, you and Duran Thompson, right? Mm-hmm. Long time.
Mm-hmm.
But with the spot, I think you could say that there is a pre-Jamaica and there's a post-Jamaica era,
you
right?
You could say that.
And I think that's been important for the development of the spot. But only thing now we got to do is we got to figure out how to get this new cast of spot people traveling and to have that same sort of experience that you guys had. Because I think that intercultural...
So one of the things I could say for sure is as the spot was kind of coming down to an end in that the first segment, because I see it in different segments. You know, Thoughtcatcher presents the spot. The first 3 years at King of Nights, like, I don't think anything touched that. And I mean that with all due respect to everybody who was in the spot. The magic that Because we knew what we was doing, but we didn't know what we was doing. And it still worked. So it was literally magic.
Right, because what's happening now?
Now it's more structured. We actually know what we're doing now.
In fact, I'm going to tell y'all, we're going to teach this. Yeah. You know, we're going to teach this.
That first, Lewis.
Well, go ahead, bro. The difference is what Aaron, that Jamaica thing is, before Jamaica, we were creating the formula.
Right.
Not knowing that we were creating the formula. Right. It was an organic thing that was just happening. Mm-hmm. After Jamaica, we had a basic structure to work with. Mm-hmm. And then we built on that structure. But the first 3 years we was just winging it and building something that we didn't even know we were building.
No, because what a lot of people miss who know the spot now, or if you only knew the spot the past few years, you don't know Spoken Tones.
No.
Yeah. That was a huge part of the show. You understand? It's just that the skits kind of got bigger than the band.
Well, let me jump into it.
Go ahead, bro.
When you speak about the Spoken Tones,
pull the mic.
The entire show was the band. Mm-hmm. Like we keep saying that the fillers and all the rest of the skits, they literally developed into the skit part of the spot. Yeah. Everything was the band. Everything was centered around the band. We had beginning acts that used to come in front of people, other artists that used to come and perform and all that.
Yeah.
So the skits came in literally as fillers. I would be sitting in the front and it was like, okay, there's too much dead space. And these guys are in the back doing tons of different things. So we then evolved to making sure that there's something happening while the band is changing sets.
Mm-hmm.
And the skits then just grew into something totally different.
Look here, although I didn't know y'all then, like, that's how I developed into comedy, right? So I developed into comedy doing, well, first of all, Christine Wilson, the Crab, C-R-A-B, brought me to the spot,
right?
But I was doing improv comedy. Mm. And to practice for the spot, right, I started doing improv stand-up comedy, right? And so while the spot is primarily skit and character-based comedy, I love them filler bits. I love them quick, short, improv-y bits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the new model. I love the model, right? Like the finished, final form.
Right.
But that's always been my favorite part of the spot.
Yeah.
Those little gaps. Just if we need some foolishness,
that's the
magic.
Filler. That's the magic. Yeah. So basically, I know as the host, you know, my job was like I was Koji was saying just now, when the skits now were in the, when the people in the skits were dressing or doing what they had to do in the back, I had to keep the crowd, you know, focused. So Justice Gardens, I can't tell you exactly where that came from. I think that came from just me talking foolishness on stage, because we talk about all these cameras around this place called Justice Gardens, which is a parallel universe, just like Nassau. It functions very, very, very same. Have some of the same people, but they ain't the same people. Like that was our way of not getting sued, right? we had a government called the Shadow Government of the Bahamas, led by the White Jockey Man. The White Jockey Man had his different ministers. Like you talk about, Minister of Works on people's nerves. So remember, we had a hurricane that kind of did a loop to loop on Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
I think Sakani was the minister of Works on, right, Sakani? He was Minister of Works on people's nerves during that skit.
Yep.
And you had a machine. Yep. Tell the people, you had a machine.
Yeah, I had a machine that has controlled the hurricane. That's all.
And I think he dropped his coffee or something, and the hurricane is missing spin bar.
I can't remember the full story. Yeah.
So that's what happened.
We was using every bit of creativity that we could find in us to have fun.
Yeah. And
we just brought the.
Sorry,
we brought the audience along with us to have a just good old merry time.
Well, look here, Ministief that machine here. Ministief that machine. Look here, producer, I'd like to thank you for playing that music, because you know I had 18 more stories to tell. So listen, this is the beginning, the origin story of Thoughtcatcher Enterprises and the spot. I won't call it 242 because that's my era.
Morphed into 242.
So next time, on the next episode of Justice Gardens, we're going to have some of our founders back and some of our newer members to fill in the newer parts of this story.
We even rushed in John Canoe one year. We went a parade.
We went a parade
in John Canoe.
Yeah.
Say what, producer?
That's Kermie. Kermie know the time.
Spot, buddy.
Oh, y'all could win a parade before Spirit.
We have a boxing day win under our belt. The Spot.
The Spot 242.
I am in.
Man, look here.
I was on the ground.
Where was I? I was rushing with the white people.
Probably.
I love them, though. they are me. I am them. Also, thank you for joining us today on the clock on this Culture Thursday. Soon, I'm going to have you guys back with Sakani, with some of these newer guys like Shad Fur and Valine Roll.
And Deoni.
And, oh, look here, that old boy. I need to go find him. Yeah, he out there being responsible, have real job and taking care of family. Anyway, we got to go. Thank you, producer, for those extra seconds. Tune in to Cable Bahamas. Whenever they have the Spot on, watch us. Laugh. Laugh at yourself. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Your first day of training, bus driver training. My name is Rufus, and I will be instructor for today. The title of being a bus driver has been bestowed upon the best over the years.
Okay.
My daddy was a bus driver.
Aha! Uh-huh.
My daddy's daddy was a bus driver.
Right.
And my daddy's daddy used to ride a horse and carriage.
Sweet girl. You still in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Is it a hope you ain't using it? Because, child, that toilet don't flush in there.
I went in there. I can check the item.
Hold on, you realize something, boy?
What?
That's my house.
You're a mother sick.
You don't know. Papa, what you don't know.